I've preached this sermon before, I recognize that, but the audience changes. You have changed since you heard it the last time. We've got all of these young people that have grown up, and you may have never heard this sermon. You may remember it or not, but let me introduce the sermon by asking you, raise your hand, have you ever been called to serve on a jury? Go ahead and raise your hand. I just want to see, well, there's a good number. Some of you were called and didn't even answer the call itself. Isn't that great? Now, serving on a jury is something that you sort of dread. Guess what? You're going to dread this sermon if that's you. Because we're going to have a trial in this courtroom today. And so we want to bring out, let's set this up like a courtroom. Let's let this be the witness chair. And sometimes I'll be the prosecuting attorney, sometimes I'll be the defense attorney. Guess what you are? You are the ladies and gentlemen of the jury. Now, 33 minutes from now, you're going to have to make your decision. I want you to understand that. You can set your watch on that. 33 minutes from now, you're going to have to make the decision. So you better listen, and listen carefully. And I apologize for the fact that those of you who sit over here may not be able to see the chair, but we don't have two witness chairs. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, we are assembled here today to discuss the matter, is this man Jesus crazy? Is this man Jesus a fraud? Or is this man Jesus the Son of God? And that's the trial. And so at the end of the evidence that we'll present this day, you're going to have to make up your mind. We're going to call 7 witnesses. And when these 7 witnesses, then it becomes your turn. And we will not dismiss you to go to a jury box or that type of thing. But in your own mind, I'm going to ask that you be listening, knowing that if you went to wherever the jury's room was and went to that place, you'd have to make this decision. And so I ask you to listen intently. Witness number 1, can I borrow your imagination? Jesus of Nazareth, would you come and sit in this chair? Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you see him. When he comes, he has no form nor comeliness. He has no attractiveness about it. Just an ordinary looking sort of guy that was a carpenter. I want you to judge his demeanor. I want you to listen to what he says. And then I want you to be aware of the fact that there'll be some other witnesses called. Now, in John chapter 5, and this lesson is, if you want to open up your Bibles, it's from John chapter 5. The last part of the lesson will be from John 15. But John chapter 5 presents the witnesses to the deity of Jesus. Look at verse 31. Jesus said in verse 31, If I testify of myself, my witness is not true. That's first witness. What does he say? Well, I could testify of myself, and I could testify of myself that I am the Son of God. But he said, if I'm the only one, you can't establish if I'm the Son of God or not just because I say that I am. And so Jesus says, but I don't know where I came from. And so we asked the man sitting in the chair, sir, where are you from? And he said, well, it depends what you mean by from. Right now, I've sort of grown up in Nazareth. I guess you'd say I'm from Capernaum now. I was born down there in Bethlehem, and I've been in a lot of places. I've been to Egypt. Sir, you sort of evaded the question. Where are you from? In John chapter 8 and verse 14, he says, I know who I am. I know where I came from. And so isn't it common practice in the laws of the land when a man sits in the chair to ask them to state their name and tell us where they're from, you know, tell us something about yourself, and that's all we're doing. And he says, well, if you really know where I'm from, I was there in the beginning with God. I'm from eternity. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I want you to understand, that's the issue. That's the very thing that we're looking at right now. Is he from God? Now, there are all kinds of witnesses that will be called. But I ask you to just look at him and think about him. In fact, there is a book that I want to ask you to read. Here is a biography of this man. There are four different chapters and four different books in this one book. And I ask you in your deliberation, and I present this to be part of this trial, I ask you to read what Matthew says about him, what Mark says about him, what Luke says about him. You're going to find out there's something different about this man. Now, we're not trying to establish as the Son of God at the mouth of two or three witnesses. Can we call another witness? Let's call witness number two. In the next verse, after saying in verse 31, I know who I am, I know where I'm coming from. He says, but there's another one who bears witness of me, and that is John the Baptist. What do you know, ladies and gentlemen, are you acquainted with this man, John the Baptist? Come sit in the chair. He looks different, doesn't he? Camel's hair, eating locusts and wild honey, got a leather belt around his loins. He doesn't look really normal, everything. Sir, who are you? And he says, well, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. I have been sent by God to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. Well, now, wait a minute, John. What do people think about you? You look in Matthew 21, and the Bible says over there that every person that knows this man, John the Baptist, believes he's a prophet. You know what a prophet is? By definition, a prophet is someone who speaks from God. And here is a man, and he's about ready to testify whether or not Jesus is the Son of God. John, is Jesus the Messiah? Is Jesus of Nazareth the Son of God? You're a prophet. Speak for God. And Jesus says, behold the man of God that takes away the sins of the world. Something you may not know is in John chapter 3, verse 31, that God, before he ever sent John, says, you want to know who the Messiah is? I'll give you a sign so that you can know. You will see the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. John, did you ever see that? When I baptized him, I saw the heavens open and I saw the Spirit of God like a dove coming and alighting itself upon Jesus. Is he the Messiah? He must increase and I must decrease. I'm a prophet. But even as a prophet, and I'm here as the forerunner of Jesus, and I'm not even worthy to carry the shoes that he's wearing, to loose the shoes off his feet. He's the Messiah. Now, Jesus says in the next couple of verses, I just don't need to testify of men. You've heard me as a man say that I'm the Messiah. You've heard John say that I'm the Messiah, and those witnesses are true. But I have a witness greater than that of John. What could possibly bear, who could possibly be witness number three? Who could that be? greater than Jesus himself and greater than John? Yes. Witness number three, come and sit in the chair. Witness number three, Jesus says, and the works that I do bear witness of me. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask you to bear with me as we ask every person that had been sick or blind or crippled, palsy in such a way, I ask you to listen as every one of them testify. He came into my village. He came into my city. I followed him wherever he was going, and he healed them, every single one. I was blind. I was deaf. I could not speak. I could not walk. I could not bear my burdens. And hundreds and thousands of people could come and sit in this chair until of that event. My son had died, a widow could come and say, and we were carrying my son to bury him. And Jesus stopped that procession and came and raised my son from the dead. Ladies and gentlemen, the jury, I remind you, as far as the divine record goes, he never was one time around a blind man whose eyes he did not open, not once. Never around a deaf man. Never around a mute person. Never around a paralytic. And the reality was, he was never in the presence of dead bodies that he did not raise. Mary and Martha, is he the Son of God? Lazarus, is he the Son of God? Witness number four. The Father himself will bear witness of me. You remember when he was baptized? You remember when the heavens were open? You remember that time whenever the Spirit of God descended and there was a voice out of heaven that said, "This is my Son." Almighty God, who's your Son? Peter talks about that second time. He said, "This is my Son," at the Mount of Transfiguration. And Peter says, "We've not followed cunningly devised fables. We were eyewitnesses, ear witnesses, and we heard God say, 'This is my Son.'" That's not a fable. The Father himself. A prophet? He's the Son of God. The miracles that he did, the works that he did, were God's way of confirming that his message was true, and all of the blind and all of the sick and all of those individuals who were afflicted in any way on earth, they all say, "He's the Son of God." And then Jehovah God himself. Witness number five, search the scriptures, for they testify of me. How many prophecies are there in the Old Testament about the coming of the Messiah? We've asked that question so many times. I hope you know it's 332. Isaiah, Jeremiah, David, Moses, Solomon, Hosea, all of those who made prophecies. And one by one, we bring witnesses here, every Old Testament prophet that ever wrote anything. And we ask every one of them the exact same question. Is Jesus the one you were talking about? Is there any prophecy that you made about Jesus that he has not been fulfilled? Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, without exception, every one of those 332 prophecies about the coming of the Messiah, we ask every prophet, did he fulfill them? And unanimously, with no variation at all, every single one of them said, he fulfilled every one of those prophecies. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, if Jesus is not the Messiah, then how on earth would we ever know the Messiah had come when he does come, because there's no record of what he'd do, because those have been filled full, fulfilled. That's not bad, is it? Jesus, John, the works that I do, the Father, and the Holy Scriptures. That prophet, that priest, that king has come. We go to John 15 for witness number 6 and number 7, the last two verses. In John chapter 15 says, the Spirit will bear witness of me. You've got the Son, you've got the Father, and now you've got the Holy Spirit of God. He will bear witness of me. Spirit, tell us about Jesus. Acts 2, they spake as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. That's not Peter's sermon in Acts 2. That's the Holy Spirit's sermon. And the Holy Spirit of God took lowly Galileans, ignorant and unlearned fishermen, and took over their mouths. And in languages they'd never studied, the Holy Spirit proclaimed the message in all of those languages through these 12 men. Here's the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:22, listen to the Spirit. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by those miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in your midst, and you know that. This Jesus has God raised up from the dead. And we're eyewitnesses. And the Holy Spirit has been poured out, and what you're seeing and what you're hearing is the very evidence, visual evidence, that the Holy Spirit is doing everything he can to say, Jesus of Nazareth, he is the Son of God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and a threefold cord intertwined is not easily broken. Number seven, talking to the apostles, he said, you'll bear witness of me. As a defense attorney, I've been waiting for this man Peter to get up here. Peter, do you really believe he's the Son of God? Read the story of my life, and over again I've said that. But was there not that occasion whenever you were cursing and swearing, saying you don't even know the man? And Peter says, and I was wrong, and I wept bitterly because I ever did that. Peter, what did you say in Caesarea Philippi? When Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And what did Peter say? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. When Jesus said, as the multitudes were turning against him, he turned to the apostles and he said, will you also go away? And it was Peter who said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Talking to Jesus, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And I want you to be aware of the fact that of those 12 apostles that day were the mouthpiece of God to say Jesus of Nazareth has been raised from the dead by God. I want you to know that with the exception of John, who lived much longer than they, every one of them believed it to the point of death. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, look at the evidence. You have to make a decision. And there's the evidence. Seven witnesses. It's the witness of Jesus. It's the witness of John. It's the witnesses of the works of Jesus. It's the witnesses of our Heavenly Father. It's the witness of every one of the 300 prophecies made saying you'll know when he's here. It's the witness of the Holy Spirit. The words in Acts 2 are the words of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God by miracles and wonders and signs that he did in your midst, and you're aware of it. This Jesus is God raised up. Words of the Holy Spirit of God. You've got the scriptures, you've got the Holy Spirit, and now you've got the blood of men said, go ahead and take my life. Decapitate me. Torture me any way you want to. It's not a fable. We cannot lie. Jesus is the Messiah. You've got a decision to make. Wait a minute. I want to call one more witness. Would you come and sit in this chair? And you come to sit in this chair, and as your heart, as you get closer, your heart is pounding because you know what I'm going to ask you. What's your life like? Can I judge by your life whether you believe Jesus is the Son of God? What do we say? Well, let me ask you this. Do you believe that he is the Son of God? John 8:24 says, if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Let me ask you, have you ever made the decision that I believe this so emphatically that I'm ready to give my life? I mean literally give my life to him. And have you ever verbalized it? For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Have you done that? And the Son of God, attested to by his own words, by the words of John, by the miracles that he did, by all of these evidences and witnesses that we have given, the Father bearing witnesses, the Scriptures bearing witness, the Holy Spirit bearing witness. Have you been baptized? Don't tell me you believe me that he's the Messiah until you change your life. And there will be in your life the fruits of repentance. Because your sins have been washed away when you are immersed in water for the remission of sins. Have you done that? There's a baptistry here. There's clothing. There's warm water. What possible reason could you give that you would not do it today? Because if you do not bear witness this day, the time will come when it will be too late. And that could possibly be this day that you're in, life might end. When you will stand before this one, and every knee shall bow and confess that he's the Messiah. How can we help you do this? To be faithful until the day you die and give your life. How can we help you? Someday, your knees will bow before Jesus. That day, it's too late. Today is the day of salvation. And if you need to be saved in any of the way, let us know how we can help you on your trip to heaven by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?